ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Jack McLennan was 27, fit and visibly strong.
He was trained well. He knew how to hit, and I was gobsmacked.
He seemed ready for anything, but then he suddenly vanished.
I was just talking to him last night. Like, how the hell does that happen?
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Australian grocery giant Woolworths is expected to ship hundreds of corporate jobs offshore, while Barbecues Galore is going to close up shop permanently with hundreds of workers facing redundancy. But why is Wesfarmers positive about the transformational power of AI? Welcome to ABC Business Daily. I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm ABC business reporter Steph Chalmers.
Steph, lovely to be talking to you, although this is a pretty bad topic or sad topic for those people who are currently employed at Woolworths head office or in some of these corporate roles. So this is one of our two supermarket giants saying that they will be moving, we believe, hundreds of corporate jobs overseas. You've been speaking to your sources about exactly what this plan is. Why is Woolworths doing it, and how many people do we think are going to be impacted?
It's really unfolding as we speak. We know that Woolworths is starting the consultation process today with staff, so we could get more information as, you know, those talks progress as to which teams in particular this affects. We know it's corporate roles, not customer-facing roles, so departments like IT, like finance and people, so HR functions essentially. So kind of those typical functions in the business that you often hear of being outsourced to offshore centres.
The back office kind of roles.
Exactly. So it's not the people that you interact with in the store, it's the support staff. And Woolworths is a major employer, not just in its storefronts, but obviously as such a large corporation with arms like Big W, it's a really big corporate in Australia and a major employer. So it is a big deal. There are 10,000 roles that come into this corporate kind of bucket that could be affected. And we understand that hundreds of roles are potentially going to be lost here and then replaced with overseas hires. They have said that, you know, they already have offices in Asia in several countries. And this is obviously not unheard of in the retail landscape. It's something that other corporations do globally, and those are the corporations that Woolies is now competing with on the grocery front as well, the likes of Amazon, you know, global giants coming to Australia like Aldi. So they've kind of framed it as we need to stay competitive to be able to offer our customers the value they're requiring at the moment in this cost of living crisis. So it really comes down to money.
Yeah, you mentioned that they already have support roles in different places, including offices in Hong Kong, China, Bangladesh, India, and the Philippines. So it's possible that this is just an enlarging of some of those offices. Part of the reason they're obviously attracted to these type of places is because the cost of labor might be cheaper. There might be different rules around how you're employing people. And as you say, they are framing it in part. I think the language that they've used was the rapid expansion of international players in the market, which many people are reading as this is the Amazon effect, and that they are competing with particularly in Amazon, a company that has pretty streamlined processes, has a lot of their back offices situated all around the world. And Woolworths is saying that to be able to compete on price, they need to lower their cost base. And part of the way that they can do that is by offshoring some of these roles. Do you think it's an argument that holds weight with the Australian public? I mean, for a long time, particularly around like call centres, people were very irritated that they were going offshore. It feels like there's less public pushback these days. And do you think it actually impacts their reputation in the market?
I think it does, but does that actually translate to people changing their behaviour, I think, is the question. When we were reporting this news in our blog this morning, we started to get half a dozen comments almost immediately from people saying, well, I'm going to go shop at, you know, insert major competitor here. I think you can guess who that is. And yeah, the sentiment was really negative, but I do wonder, just given how little competition there tends to be in Australia, you know, outside of these new pressures from the likes of Amazon. If you're, you know, walking along the street and there's a Woolworths store, in a couple of months' time, will it really come to your mind that, hey, they offshored some office jobs, I'm going to walk the extra block to Coles? So I think the sentiment is always negative. It's kind of, one of the comments said, it's un-Australian, but I think Woolworths would have had to just make the calculation that the cost of the reputation is surely not even comparable to the money they would save.
Yeah, money they would save, and they believe that the major, or at least one of the major considerations for customers is how cheap can you get that product, and so that any reputational damage would be, yes, as you say, pales in comparison potentially to people actually saving when they go for a shop. We obviously, understandably, focus in on these big announcements of big job losses, but it is important to point out the context is Australian unemployment is still pretty low, 4.5% even after a recent rise. So even though these type of layoffs obviously gain headline attention, the truth is Australia is generating other jobs. But the question, I think, remains live at the moment, and Woolworths is not naming artificial intelligence as a component to this particular change, but that is the thing that kind of overhangs all these conversations right now, isn't it? That are we going to see major job losses because of artificial intelligence, and are they job losses that actually won't be replaced in other parts of the economy if it's moving so rapidly?
Exactly, and I think Woolworths, in announcing this, was pointing out that we're actually opening, you know, some two dozen stores this year. We expect to create 2,500 jobs in Australia and New Zealand. So saying that, you know, this is an outsourcing contained to the corporate office and we're still creating jobs in other areas of the business. But it's interesting, as you say, with the AI shift, we think of that perhaps that would free up workers for kind of higher skilled, more complicated jobs. But if you think about something like Amazon, which is perhaps using AI for a lot of its back-end processes, or Woolies, you know, maybe some of their corporate roles are being consolidated because they're becoming more efficient through the use of AI, then what are the other roles that are coming? Mm. Instead, it's, you know, Amazon delivery drivers. That's not really a higher skilled role than a corporate back office role necessarily. So I think it will be interesting whether it plays out as, you know, theoretically people have thought it is, perhaps we'll actually get, you know, more people delivering stuff while the bots do the behind the scenes work. Who knows?
I feel like through the kind of work from home revolution, which we saw play out particularly through COVID, but there's now kind of a legacy of major changes to the way people are able to work. One of the concerns some people raised was that if you can set up a situation where you can work remotely, then you potentially are showing your boss that that job can be done completely remotely, i.e. not even in Australia. And so I'd be curious to know about if that's playing at all out in this particular equation for Woolworths, if they've now had experience with certain jobs being done by people working from home. Well, then you ask the question, if labor is cheaper in a different country and you've already proven that you don't need that person coming into the office in order to fulfill that job, have you made the argument for the corporation to actually send that job completely offshore, which obviously is bad for the person who's lost it here in Australia?
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see, as Woolworth said, the consultation starting today. So we may get some more information from workers who are, you know, being consulted through the process. Are people going to be redeployed, or are these just going to be straight redundancies? Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to find out.
Woolworths does still have this pending case before the federal court. This was the action taken by the Consumer and Competition Watchdog, the ACCC. Now, Coles lost its case. This is the down case where the ACCC argued that Coles and Woolworths, in two separate cases, had created illusory discounts, that they had had products that saw product prices increase and then were reduced, and then the sticker claimed that those were a discount. We don't know whether or not this is going to hit Woolworths, but we know that they have been under pressure when it comes to their pricing models. Even though we think of this market as being basically a duopoly, Coles versus Woolworths, they are saying that they're facing increased competition on the ground. It's Aldi, in the interwebs, it's Amazon. How valid do you think those concerns are about the kind of the pressure that's on them? And did that case kind of illustrate to us just how focused they really are on making sure that they're competitive on price.
I mean, no doubt that Woolworths would be looking at the outcome of the Coles case and making a contingency plan for how they would deal with the fallout if they are to face the same outcome. And that's both on, you know, a potentially historic fine. We don't know what that will be if it goes that way. But for Coles, the fine, you know, in theory could be hundreds of millions of dollars. So we'll have to wait and see what the court actually decides, because the real quantum, you know, based on the penalty for each of the breaches is not actually,
it's entirely unrealistic.
Never going to actually be applied. But, you know, they would be looking at this as a really real financial risk that is looming on the horizon for them. As you say, it's not just the likes of Aldi undercutting them on price now. It's also the likes of, in New South Wales, we've got Harris Farm, kind of a specialty grocery retailer. You can now order that through Amazon. And I think I'm conscious this could be a Sydney thing as well, but I think if you order on Amazon in recent months, efficiency seems to have really ramped up. You can get things really, really quickly now. Mm-hmm. So this, we've been talking about this Amazon effect for a few years, but I think now that's really kind of playing out in terms of how quickly you can get stuff. It really does become a viable alternative than going down the road to the supermarket if you can get something in a couple of hours and you don't have to leave your house at all. So,
and you can very easily check the price competition. Like, you're able to be assured that you're getting the best possible price instead of the old ritual of heading down to a supermarket and then being unclear, it being unclear whether or not you are actually getting the best price.
Exactly. Those tickets that tell you, oh, this was this last week and this has been discounted, those illusionary discounts, as the ACCC argued successfully in the Coles case, they don't work online because it's there in black and white and you can compare it across the market. So I think no doubt they do feel these pressures are real, especially at a time where price seems to be the most important thing to people who are feeling the financial strain at the moment.
Another piece of news in the retail space was barbecues galore. It is. We're talking about whether or not this counts as a kind of landmark
Australian icon.
Australian icon. That's the word I'm looking for. Whether or not does barbecues galore count as an Australian icon? I have some vague memories of maybe entering one with my parents when I was young.
I thought I remembered a theme song, but I couldn't find it on YouTube. Yeah. So then I thought maybe I made it up. You know,
it is a distinctive name. But yes, sad news for those people employed by Barbecues Galore, but also for franchisees. So it had, Barbecue Galore has 62 company-owned stores, 27 owned by franchises. It is now going through the process of being wound up. What do you think the collapse of Barbecues Galore actually tells us about Australian retail right now?
Yeah, so this has been going on for a couple of months. They entered voluntary administration and they were pursuing a sale of the business. They couldn't find a buyer by mid-May. That became clear. And then their major creditor proposed a kind of deal to recapitalize the business to try and keep it trading and keep those, it was some 500 employees employed, but that fell through and that's what's resulted now in this winding up. So we don't actually know for sure what's going to happen to the franchise stores. They're supporting them through the process, but potentially, you know, they could rebrand or operate, you know, they're their own business, but given the brand itself is winding up and that IP could be sold on, they might not have the ability to operate as Barbecues Galore, obviously stock arrangements. So really there are, you know, it's almost 90 stores and 500 staff that are at risk here, and hundreds of those are going to be made redundant because the company-owned stores are winding up in a matter of weeks. So I think it's, as you say, it's kind of got that nostalgic feel about it because it's a bricks and mortar retailer. It sells really one product. They do sell other things. They sell heating in winter when, you know, barbecues aren't as popular. So they're in that kind of wood fire space, I guess. So, I think it brought to mind another collapse we saw in recent years, which was Godfrey's, the vacuum retailer. And particularly Godfrey's didn't sell Dyson, which is one of the most popular vacuum brands. So that was, you know,
it seemed to be a pretty major obstacle in the current market to be a vacuum cleaner company that doesn't sell Dyson.
Yeah, and I think with Barbecues Galore, it's hard not to think of it in the context of Bunnings, which is such kind of a popular and kind of a culturally recognisable brand. Mm. When people were talking about Australian icon, I was kind of thinking, is Barbecues Galore an Australian icon, or are barbecues an Australian icon? And if I want to get a sausage on the weekend, where do you get that? You go to Bunnings and they sell barbecues there too, and they sell a whole lot of other stuff. So I think for these kind of single product or, you know, kind of line retailers, it's a struggle in the modern retail world when you either have the choice of looking up the exact same product online and potentially going where the price is best. A lot of people do price matching online, so they struggle to compete unless they are, you know, outright the cheapest, which then, you know, leads to financial problems as well. And then if your other alternative in terms of if you want to go into the store and look at the barbecue, if you can go somewhere where you can look at a bunch of other related stuff, they're also struggling to compete there, I think.
Yeah, and once again, there is a lesson in the collapse of this company when it comes to gift cards. Now, they're saying that gift cards that have been purchased will still be valid, but, and this is a massive but, if you've got a gift card of, say, $100, you need to spend, I think it's $200
on top of the gift card.
So 2-to-1 ratio in order for that to be valid. So what effectively it means is instead of it being kind of its own currency, it's basically just a coupon, or it allows you to get a discount on a purchase. And I think a lot of the time when people buy gift cards, maybe because you've got a aunt or uncle who's difficult to buy for, people think it's a more thoughtful gift than just giving hard currency. But this is the risk, that these things are seen as unsecured credit, and therefore in the hierarchy when it comes to the winding up of a business, they're right down the bottom. They get paid out last, so you will lose that money at the moment you can at least get a discount on a product.
Yeah, exactly. And it's only a couple of weeks, really. They said on the 30th of June, those gift card holders will become unsecured creditors. So you've really got to want something of a particular value within the next couple of weeks to get it. So I can't imagine that everyone's going to be able to redeem those gift cards. And yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that, sadly. I got a massage voucher for my birthday and ended up an unsecured creditor. So.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
I've been there. It hurts.
Wesfarmers is out with its investor day. So Wesfarmers is the company that owns Bunnings. Maybe it's thinking it's going to get more sales of barbecues in the near future. It also owns Kmart and a bunch of other retailers among its retail offerings. But it's out with its investor day talking about the future. In particular, it is very openly talking about artificial intelligence, and it believes that AI agents in particular are going to be a major driver of business in the future. Talk us through what they've said.
Yeah, so this is agentic AI versus generative AI, which is what we hear about a lot, where you kind of put in some prompts and you get information back to you. So at the moment, the role of AI in shopping has been a lot like when you search for a product online, it'll give you a bunch of offerings and then you follow through the transaction itself. Where AI is going with agentic AI is that it's going to complete multiple steps for you and potentially even complete the transaction for you eventually. Yeah. And we've heard that the big retailers, so Woolworths and Wesfarmers, are really Australia's big retailers. Coles has been spun out of Wesfarmers. It's now a separate company, but that's why we often heard of Woolies and Wesfarmers discussed together. We know that Woolworths has a plan to trial agentic AI with Olive, which is its little assistant on the app that you might have encountered, and they've said it's not going to complete transactions for you yet, but it might do things like, you know, you can plug in what ingredients you have, or you can select a recipe and then it'll fill a virtual shopping basket for you based on the recipe. So it's kind of taking the decisions out of your hands. So now we're hearing at the strategy day that that's something that Bunnings, under that Wesfarmers umbrella, is going to explore. Kmart as well. Bunnings has an assistant already, but they're obviously moving towards that direction as well. I think one of the examples our reporter Clint Jasper, who was following along with the strategy day, said was taking a photo of a broken pipe and then the AI assistant just orders that product for you, selects what's wrong, selects what product you need, and then organises the delivery from Bunnings to your house. So obviously, you know, the retailers will be spruiking the convenience aspect of that for customers, but these aren't neutral parties that are making decisions in your best interest. There's obviously a whole lot of commercial deals, promotions, and other metrics behind it. So it'll be interesting to see how skeptical people feel about it. Do they feel comfortable having these agents from the companies themselves making purchase decisions for them, and how much does it actually take off?
Now, I absolutely believe artificial intelligence is going to be transformative. That's the disclaimer at the top. But this does remind me, I feel like for the last, 10 years, we would hear about smart devices and smart devices in your home completely transforming tasks. And the classic example was always a smart fridge that would tell you when you'd run out of products and would automatically order them. This has been talked about for such an extended period, and it's just never happened. And I think in part because it's more complicated than that sounds, and also would people, even as someone who, when I was living in America, I had a lot of devices hooked up to my phone, but it was pretty limited functionality. Now, we probably are getting to a point where maybe that will work better, but it just, I have some skepticism about how quickly this will happen. But one of the things they believe will happen is that you will have these agents who, you know, aren't exhausted in the way that humans are, and who will be constantly, for example, on the price discovery, will be constantly looking for a better price. And so companies will effectively be having to have the lowest price on products in order to compete on selling those products to customers. So this is going to put a lot of pressure on their current pricing models, the speed at which they can deliver. But I just wonder how quickly it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're talking about competing on price and an agent searching for the best price for you. I mean, that kind of sounds like a third-party app that I download that shops for me, whereas what these companies are talking about is their own app, their own software that is searching their own database and then has other things filtered into it, not just price. And, you know, on the supermarket app I use, it already goes through the history of what I've bought and then will advertise me the products that are on sale, which I find mildly handy sometimes. But I just wonder if it can overcome that skepticism piece of, yeah, maybe it's handy for someone to do my Woolworths or my Bunnings shopping for me, but do I want it to be Bunnings doing that?
Yeah, and I think potentially you end up in a scenario where it's your own personal agent talking to the agent of the organization, and that's the discussion that's happening without people actually witnessing it, right?
But as you say, that still feels like a little bit futuristic.
Yeah.
I don't know how naive that is, but yeah, I don't feel like that's happening this year, but we'll see.
Let's see. Okay, Steph, that's it for today's episode of ABC Business Daily. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Make sure you're following us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to send in a question, you can email abcbusinessdaily@abc.net.au. Catch you next time, Steph.
Bye.